Real Business Owners.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 74 with myself, Trevor Cowley. As always, my partner, Kel Goodman.
What's up?
Guys, today we have a guest on the show for you. We just met probably about 5 minutes ago or so, so we haven't had a whole lot of time to meet John and get to know John. But I actually like it like that, to where we can get to know you a little bit more while we're recording, and so people can get to know you as well, and it's a little bit more organic that way. So we've got, it's Marone, right?
Yes.
John Marone
yes.
is with us today. So we appreciate you flying out from Florida
yep.
to be on the podcast. And so I've poked around a little bit on Instagram, obviously, and it says growth expert. That's kind of your field or your expertise, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So explain to the audience what that means. Growth, is that like a life coach, like personal growth? Is it business growth? Is it both?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that real quick.
So great question, right? I actually used to be called the ultimate one-on-one coach. And what I found is through branding, I boxed myself into only one-on-one. And I'm a transformational speaker and a transformational coach. So I had to broaden it a little bit.
Yeah.
But essentially what a growth expert is, and what we do is we help high performers get to the next level in all areas of life.
Okay.
Creating that integration in all six areas of life. And we do this through inner work, and then we get to their business.
Mm.
So business consulting, life consulting, all wrapped into one, but we always work inside out.
I mean, when I ask the question, is it more life, is it more business? I think that there's a lot of things that people aren't really addressing in life that's ultimately holding their business back.
Yeah.
You know? And some people look so deep into their business. Why is my business not growing? Why is it not? Well, you're the one running the business. Are you really growing as an individual? And if you're not growing as an individual, how can your business ultimately grow if you're the individual behind the wheel?
Yeah.
Right? And so I could see how those two things go hand in hand. If your personal life isn't addressed, it's going to be difficult to scale a business.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. So. And so here's the thing, man. Like, I have so many people reach out to me and they're like, hey, can you help me grow my business? Can you help me in sales?
Yeah.
Whatever that might be.
Yeah.
And I always tell them, like, let's pump the brakes. Let's plug the holes in a ship before we set sail, because your business will never outgrow who you truly are.
Right.
Right? And so the money that we want to create, the experiences that we want to have, the relationships that we want to have, is nothing but an extension off of you, right? Like, we are the tree that money grows on.
Yes.
And so money is a byproduct to our values, to our characteristics, to our attitudes, beliefs, and our environment. And when you can understand, like, hey, I'm the source of everything.
Yeah.
And money is literally just a byproduct. My business growth is a byproduct of me. I mean, it becomes easy, you know, because there's so many different businesses and so many different, you know, nuances in business. It becomes harder to track and find those holes. But when you can just pull back and say, hey, who am I? Am I the person that I need to be in order to have the success that we want? Like, we all know people that got really rich really fast.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, think about even like basketball players or football players, lottery winners.
Yeah.
What happens?
They lose their money because they don't know who they are. They're maybe trying to spend their way into, you know, being cool, or they still just have, they don't know them yet.
Yeah.
And they're spending their way to try to find who they are, and then they run out of money.
Yeah.
And who they are now is broke.
Yeah.
And still lost.
And they're trying to impress other people before impressing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always look at it and I tell everybody, hey, look, you got to become the person that you need to become to achieve the results that you want to have.
Yeah.
So it's always inner work first, because, you know, when you look at a business, I look at the leader. I look at the leader, and I can tell you if that business is going to crumble fast or is going to blow up and succeed and progress to the levels that they want to get to. And it's what the leader does in the dark that matters most.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of leaders fail, and people come to me as, you know, to coach for them, and it's like, hey, like, who are you when nobody's watching?
Yeah.
Right. When nobody's watching, who are you?
Because what are your actions?
Yeah.
Are you still trying to improve, you know, outside of business? You know, and we've joined entrepreneurship groups and all that. And as we evolve as individuals, our business just naturally evolves.
Yep.
You know, but in most cases, when you're not to that level of ready to evolve as an individual, all you can see is numbers. Like, when they reach out, hey, man, I want to grow my business. They think there's something wrong in the business, and they don't ever take that hard look in the mirror to say, what's wrong with me? Is there something that I could be doing individually that would ultimately help serve my business as well?
Absolutely.
And they go completely hand in hand. So I'd agree with that 100%.
Yeah, it's contagious, man.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? If you're pushing, you're growing, your team's going to want to push and grow around you. But, you know, if you're leading a lifestyle that's not very healthy and it's just, you know, crumbling, it's pulling you down, it's going to pull your team down around you as well.
Exactly.
It's kind of, You know, I see it in our company, man. Yeah. Like these people look to us like, what's next, right? Yeah. So they are following our lead in a lot of different areas, and a lot of them now are following our lead even at home.
Yeah.
You know, they're pushing themselves in their health. They're pushing themselves in their faith. They're pushing themselves in their, you know, their personal growth, and they grow.
Even financially.
Like, I never thought some of our sales guys would be doing $60,000 a week in sales individually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now they are. I never hit that when I was a sales guy. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, but now we got when guys we started doing it. And people were hitting like $5,000 or $10,000 a week, right. And then they'd have a good week and they'd hit $10,000 or $15,000 a week in sales. And now it's not uncommon for those guys to hit, you know, $40,000 in a week and make anywhere from $6,000 to $10,000 a week in commission. And it's kind of cool for them to be able to turn to us and say, hey, man, I'm starting to make money. What should I do with it? Mm-hmm. They're starting to think in advance. Yeah. And that's one of the most difficult things to do is be an employee, but also be thinking about the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years.
Yep.
Most people don't do that. And that's why they remain an employee, because they can't see past just this Friday, right? Yeah. Like, I can't wait to get to Friday so I get Saturday and Sunday off so I can get shit faced and then just go do it again. Right? You know, and this weird vicious cycle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. We've all been
guilty the as shit.
The sales company we came up in was like, hey, go buy that bull bite. Go buy that Dodge Viper. Go buy that. Go
they
buy
that. They wanted you because, then you work harder.
Exactly.
Yeah, buy that big TV.
Especially sales guys. Yeah.
Oh,
they're like, we would spend money, live life, you know, so we can pump up the numbers.
Yeah. Yep. That was the lifestyle. And, you know, he talked about, like, you know, now they're going home and they're anticipating what they could do next. And you know, I just think it's so powerful when you have leaders in a business that are doing the work when nobody's watching, right? Because we talked about before, like you're working on, you know, work for your knee. And it's like when nobody's watching, like let's just say if he was sitting there watching you and you had, okay, I'm going to do 12 reps.
Right.
He's watching you.
Yeah.
You bet your ass you're going to do 12 reps, but he goes to get a drink of water.
Yeah.
Who are you? Are you going to be the person that does 10 or are you the person that says whether he's watching or not, you can do 12? Because the person that's watching is your subconscious mind at all moments of the day.
I like that.
You're telling your subconscious mind what to leak into your conscious mind.
Yes.
Right? Do I quit? Do I give into my old limited beliefs? So I give into my old excuses, or am I creating this new story? And so I think it's so hard for us growing up and whether we had addiction or, you know, we're just trying to impress other people.
Been there.
Yeah, and it's like we're taking these beliefs that aren't even ours, first off.
Yeah.
We inherited these beliefs.
Yeah, of course.
We inherited this culture.
Yes.
And now we're trying to live a life that's not even truly ours. So when you can strip it away and say, who am I really?
Yeah.
And you can show up in a dark, man, with your new powerful beliefs, that's the game changer right there for you, man.
And I would say that that's a direct reflection of your confidence as well, because you know whether you're an individual of value based upon you following through with what you said you were going to do, right? You know, like 75 hard or whatever. There's plenty of times where I get done with the outside workout and it's 40 minutes in and I'm in front of my house. You know, I could easily just go walk in the door, but I just can't do it.
Yep.
So I'm going up and down the street just around my house. And so we were just talking about that last night as we were hanging out, is now I have a perfect routine where I know for a fact if I do this, that's going to take me 45 minutes on my outdoor workout, right?
Yeah.
And doing that and following through, even if it's just another 3 minutes or 4 minutes, your self-confidence increases because you know when you say you're going to do something, you follow through. Yeah. That's how also discipline is created, right? It's all the things that you don't want to do that you ultimately do. It's just like a muscle. The more times that you do that and put yourself under that test, the more discipline you're going to have. It just is created. It's nobody's born with discipline. We're all born just, you know, mush, right? Like no sets of beliefs or anything like that. If I was born in the UK, I might have a completely different set of beliefs. I'd have an accent even, right? And so your environment is super, super important, and the people that you surround yourself with. Obviously, you know, everyone knows the old saying, you know, you are who you surround yourself with. But in terms of you having addiction issues in the past versus, you know, cleaning up and doing a lot of cool shit in your life at this point, what would you say was the pivot point for you in terms of, you know, the aha moment where you said, you know, this is no longer for me. This is the path that I now want to go down? Because there's going to be, and it might not be addiction for some people that are listening. They just might hate what they're doing or, you know, whatever it is. What was the aha moment that made you shift gears and go into a different direction and take a whole different path?
Yeah, man, I love this question because I call them quake moments, right? Because I think we have all these like little quake moments, and as we get to these new levels, we find these new devils. And so you got another quake moment. Yeah. But the one that really shook me, it's coming up on our anniversary here, October 28th, 2012. You know, before that day, you know, John Marrone was somebody who was an addict to not just drugs, man, fighting. If I didn't fight once a week, something was wrong, right? Mm-hmm. I was addicted to drama and negativity.
Yeah.
I was addicted to bad decisions and chaos. Yeah. And unfortunately, that wound me up in jail, right? And couch hopping, living in a motel. And I met my now wife. You know, you guys met her out there. And she showed me a little bit of what it's like to be loved and accepted the right way. Mm-hmm. Not for fighting, not for being a drug dealer, not for, you know, supplying something, right? And so
that's a good point right there. Drug dealers, I think they have a tough time walking away from it because they're so used to feeling needed.
Yes,
and their phone's blowing up. I've had, you know, I've been in the game, I've had friends in the game, and I've had friends that couldn't walk away from the game because when they did for a minute and their phone went silent for 6 months, it's almost like they lost their
identity.
To the world, even though it's a negative value, right, to other people's lives. But there's some addiction to feeling needed, even if it's a negative thing. But, you know, it was unfamiliar to not feel needed and not have people like, hey, man, and it feels good. Yeah, no, I'll call me later. Meet up with me. You feel like you're in control of a lot of scenarios. And then when you quit or give up that lifestyle, you go through a weird lull, like a lonely.
Very lonely.
I think that's powerful, though.
Yep.
I think it's needed because you have to hit a low in order to do the soul searching that's needed in order to self-correct.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And going back to it, it's like identity. You know, I was always trying to find my identity growing up, and I just wanted to be accepted. Hey, I'll hang out with the jocks, right? So I'll play sports. I'll hang out with musicians, so I'll go ahead and be a singer. I'll hang out with these people. And
drug addicts, and whatever you were accepted.
And once they slapped the identity on me of the fighter and the drug dealer, I was so happy just to live in an identity where people just accepted me.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, like you said, brother, it's like as soon as I didn't have the drugs, where were they? Where were they? But, you know, so those are little moments. But the big one was in October 28th, 2012. I lived in Jersey at the time, and we lived on a barrier island, so surrounded by bodies of water. And Hurricane Sandy paid us a visit, Superstorm Sandy. And it was about 7:30 at night. I pulled my family from their motels, that's where they were living, into our house. We just got our first house. We've been like apartment living our entire life. Right, and motel living. Yeah. So we had these really small apartments. Finally got like a 700 square foot house. One story, but dude.
Big time now, huh?
We're so excited, dude. We're you know, we got it beginning October.
It's funny what you get excited for back then, you know? Like just, you know, your perception of what you've had and, you know, you're moving up in the world, right?
Absolutely.
The 700 square feet. It's crazy.
And it's just like, okay, now let's get new furniture.
Yeah.
So we get new furniture, right? And so we're living for like 2 weeks there. And When 7:30 at night hit, we went outside on October 28th, and the wind was whipping, but there was no rain. Mm. Transformers were sparking, but no rain. I remember just saying, all right, let's go inside and play Monopoly. And so we're sitting in my bedroom, and you can see the living room while we're playing Monopoly. Now, this is one of the first times we've ever sat around and played
a game as a family.
You know, unfortunately, my parents are great people, but they've made really bad decisions as well. And so this was actually a fun time, even though what was about
good
to happen
memory,
was pretty horrific for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's about 8:30, and I heard this trickle of water. So what the hell is that? And I look, and as I look, I see the stream of water coming through our living room. Which is strange because an hour ago we were just outside and there was no rain, nothing. So I get up and I walk through the water, I open a door, and 5 feet of just roaring rapids smashing into our house, pieces of docks, boats flipped over, our car underwater, minutes.
Mm.
And then next thing you know, the water cracked through the foundation and the water started rising to the house. So I went ahead, we put that ladder down for the attic. It's one story. We get up in the attic and sitting up there and the water's rising rung by rung. And I'm like, shit, rung by rung. And the trees just smashing. 130 mile per hour winds to 160. It's just about to come through the roof and the water's rising. And I look back at my family. And dude, I swear I could still see it, right? We're freezing cold because it's in October. We're in Jersey. And I remember looking at my family and I said something that I've never said in the context. And I said, what kind of impact have I made? You know, for me, it was always about income.
Of course.
Growing up, it was like,
when you're young, that's what it's all about.
And income solved my problems, right? Oh, you know, we got our electric cut off because of income.
Yes.
No, it's because of bad decisions. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're living in a tent because we need more income. No, it's because bad decisions with the income. And so when I said that, I had this just epiphany where I said, I will live impact first, income second, if we get out of here. And so about 7 to 10 hours go by, still water's out there. Another 10 hours, the water starts to recede. Water recedes, boom, I get out, and we get rescued by a front loader, by a jet ski in our neighborhood. Insane story. Now, that wasn't the biggest aha. The biggest aha is when I was sitting in a shelter with my wife's snowflake, fuzzy pajama pants on, pair of softball cleats, and a raggedy-ass t-shirt. And I'm sitting there with my family and a bunch of everybody else that obviously got, you know, evacuated.
Yeah.
And I said I'm going to make a change, right? I said I'm going to change the legacy of the Marone last name.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how. There it was, guys. Like, putting my ego down, right? Like, once I stripped away my ego, it was my biggest opportunity to grow. And I said, I don't know what I don't know. And from there, I just invested time, money, and energy into the best minds in the world in all areas of life on how I could be better. And it wasn't a light switch, right? Yeah. That was the big quake moment.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, oh, next day, dude, John Marone is on his way up. No, it was still struggling with the old story, with the old excuses and the old temptations. And it was just these, like, step by step, brick by brick. But that's my biggest quake moment would be Hurricane Sandy, man. That really shifted me and realigned me to say, hey, man, like, the way you're living, it's not going to
end well. Yeah,
yeah, it's not going to end well. And you know, you have to make a change. And I've showed you so many ways. The universe and God's like, here's so many ways. Like, you're in jail. Yeah. Right? You're living on the streets. Here's another way. And finally, it was like, you're about to die, dude.
Yeah.
So make a decision now.
Yeah.
How are you going to live your life? And I decided I had to. And, you know, from there, just invested the time and money and energy and fell in love with the process.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes time to do that. Because when you first commit to change and you talked about it step by step, it wasn't just an immediate rise, right? And I want to let people know, when you decide to make a change like that, it's not going to be an immediate rise. Yeah. There's going to be a million different reasons and valid excuses that you could pull out of your pocket to pull back.
Yep.
You know, to not live up to what your true potential is. Yeah. There's plenty of reasons. Nobody's going to blame you for being average. There's more average people than not.
They want you to be, dude. Exactly, they want you to be average.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So that's why some of the higher echelon groups, they're hard to penetrate.
Yeah.
You know, these rich people, they just keep getting richer. You know, they kind of hang out with. No, they just want to hang out with like-minded people. Mm-hmm. That's really what it comes down to. Just like a jock hangs out with another jock because they're like-minded. They like the same shit. They can go to the gym together. They go to practice together. They want to eat the same shit for performance, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, successful people just don't want to surround themselves with people that are at a lower level. And it's going to take years to be an individual of value to where those type of individuals will accept you. And you shouldn't want people to accept you as you are if you're average. You should want people to, you know, push you to get to that next level. Surround yourself with people that don't accept you as you are. Say that know that there's more in you.
Yeah.
That you can accomplish. So, dude, you're not tapping into your full potential. You can do so much with your life. And if you don't have people around you that's kind of pushing you to those new levels, then you're not around the right people. That's really what it comes down to. And in some cases, when you're not around the right group of people, you have to take a step back and be alone.
Yeah, dude,
The hardest part.
Yes.
Is it feels like success is a lonely road, you know, because there is a lot of soul searching that needs to be done, a lot of inward work that needs to be done in order to release the weight or the chains of your old identity, right? Yeah. In order to get to that next level or the next best version of yourself. And it's always there. Progression. There's always a next best version of yourself, right? Yeah. And, you know, you get to the point where you start surrounding yourself with successful people and that's right when you think you've made it and you have a little bit of money and you start getting into some of the bigger rooms, you're like, holy shit, I can't believe that was a lot of money, you know, in my mind.
Yeah.
And again, that's just your old identity still believing that, you know, 10 grand a month is a lot of money. Let's be real. It's just not, you know. And again, if you only make 3 or 4 grand a month right now, that's okay. You know, that's cool to set a target at 10 grand a month, but the idea is to continue to try to level up. I think people set their goals to a specific level, making six figures. And then when they do that, success seduces them a little bit. Comfort seduces them a little bit, mm-hmm. where they pull their foot off the gas and then they just start living the lifestyle rather than continuing to go to that next level. Because if you've made six figures, my guess is if you continue to sacrifice like you did to get to that level, within 3 to 5 years, you can probably be making $500,000 a year or $1 million a year. It just takes that same sacrifice that it took to get to the first six figures. It's going to take that again to continue to level up.
Yep.
I just think people get sick of the sacrifice and they don't fall in love with the process like you talked about.
Yeah.
And you won't fall in love with it at first.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be tough at first, but it takes time. And eventually you'll have enough data to kind of look back over the 5 years and be like, you know what, that was tough, but I could see the evolution of where it went.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to enjoy doing the tough shit because I already see the reward based upon my previous experiences. So the first 1 or 2 years, you don't have that type of data. You're not seeing the results from the hard work yet. And I think that's why people ultimately pull off and start relaxing a little bit. Would you agree with that?
Dude, 100%. And like, here's the thing. People always want to do the easy shit,
mm-hmm.
right? And I always tell everybody, got an easy decision or the right decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But here's the great part. Like, when you do and you make the right decision more often, guess what happens? Becomes easy.
Yeah.
Like, you want to do the easy thing or the right thing? Well, most people want to do the easy thing. Well, how about if you do the right thing more often, day in and day out? It becomes easier.
Yeah.
Right? It becomes easier. And so, look, I need everybody when they're listening to this to realize to stop trying to take action and get motivated off of mood.
Yeah.
Like, you need to take action and get motivated off of meaning.
Yes.
Right? Put meaning behind the mundane. Put meaning behind why you wake up and say your gratitude. Put meaning why you go ahead and actually wake up at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. Stop relying on your mood, because if you rely on your mood, you will not win. It's that simple. I promise you guys. I know you're probably the same way and you're the same way. We don't want to do half the shit that we know we need to do, right? Our bed is way cozier.
80 or 90% of the shit that we do.
But you put a meaning behind the mundane, the things you do every day, day in and day out.
Yeah.
Because it means more to you.
If your goals have no meaning, you'll quit easier.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to tie something to it.
When I listen to you guys talk, man, it's got to start with accountability.
Yeah.
You know, like we weren't this way.
Yes.
We built ourselves to this level.
Exactly.
But in order to even get started, man, like you're at your lowest. You know if you're a corner cutter.
Yeah.
You know if your personal trainer goes off to get a drink and you're skipping reps, like you talked about in the beginning. Like you know that about yourself, but a lot of people don't know it consciously yet. And until they're going to actually put themselves in a position to actually do the hard work to get to the level that we're at and all the levels in between and above where we're at right now, you got to take accountability for where you're at.
Agreed.
And what got you there to even start developing that drive to start developing the muscle, you know, mentally and physically to get you where you want to go, right?
And that's what happened in the attic.
Yep. Exactly.
Right?
Huge accountability moment.
A hard look in the mirror type situation. Like, taking account of, I have to create an impact with my life. You know, I haven't lived up to that up to this point.
And even at that rate, like, I was doing well at that time.
Yeah.
Compared to who I was, right?
Yes.
Like, I was helping businesses grow. I was doing, obviously, a little bit better. I was no longer addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
And so I was doing better, but it was, like, such a small percentage compared to what it could be. And you talked about accountability. The first step to growth is awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, self-awareness, without it, growth cannot happen.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with a lot of people, though. They have self-awareness with no true action afterwards. Self-awareness with no true transparency and vulnerability.
Yeah.
Give you an example, right? So I'm a huge believer that if we could understand that life is the sum of the choices we make, and understand this, that our quality of questions will determine our quality of life. Right? Mm-hmm. It's directly proportionate.
Absolutely.
And so if you're laying in bed and let's say your alarm is supposed to go off at 5 o'clock, right? Normally get up at 7, but we're going to start at 5 o'clock. Goes off and you say, okay, does this get me closer or further away from my goal? That's how I ask myself every day.
Yeah.
Well, it gets me closer. Normally what will happen to most people, and everybody listen, is the word but will come in.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just go ahead and wake up at 4:45 tomorrow. But I can go ahead and work a little later today.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So self-awareness is key. But self-awareness without the transparency and vulnerability of the truth behind it is absolute stupidity.
Right.
And so you need to have that alignment.
I think people just don't understand. You're talking about the reps or whatever, right? Like if your trainer says do 12 reps and you do 10. it's not that big of a deal. It's just too rare. Like, they don't understand how big of a deal it really is.
Yeah.
You're just looking at it as two reps, but you should be looking at it as programming.
100%.
You're programming your mind to seek easy or to cut corners or not go 100% or commit 100% to what you said that you wanted to do. Right. You know, and it happens all the time. There's people that pay for personal trainers and would maybe don't show up or pay for college and drop out. You know, there's and they just don't see things through. Even if it's something that you question, like, oh, man, maybe I shouldn't have done. See it through because it's muscle memory. Mm-hmm. Just like a basketball player, they do their free throws. Right. And they're just trying to get their muscles to memorize that rotation. So it just becomes second nature.
Yep.
Right. The idea is to train your mind with that. When you say you're going to do something, that you do it. And if he said 12, you should be doing 13. Mm-hmm. Don't just do what you're asked, do what you're asked and then do a little bit more, because again, that is muscle memory. And then at that point, you're an individual that goes above and beyond. That's just who you are.
Yes.
That's who you've
developed.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That's your standard.
Exactly.
What I teach my clients, and I had to teach myself first, is A, run laps around who you were yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, when you run those laps, run the extra mile.
Yes.
Because when you run the extra mile, guess what happens? Nobody else is there.
Yeah.
Nobody else is there. When you could do that day in and day out, the small things, right? Yeah. I call them the small hinges that swing open big doors. Mm. It's just those small little things that we do that most people will ignore doing because they're so small.
Yeah.
But that truly make you the most successful you could possibly be.
Yeah.
And so if people need to pay attention to the small things, how they're training their subconscious mind is so powerful.
Absolutely.
So powerful.
Whatever, 98% of the things that you do is based upon your subconscious programming.
Yep.
What a beautiful moment though, right? Like when people finally reach out to you, hey man, I need a growth coach. They've taken full accountability. They're now aware of like, man, I got to make a change. And what's that like? I mean, because you probably deal with that quite a bit when you're bringing a customer on. Like, man, this guy's, he's there. He's at this moment in his life of like, it's just because he's going to look back in 10 years and be like, damn, that was a pivotal moment,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so you deal with that a lot, right? Like people hiring you, they're at that moment finally. And so what's it like, you know, onboarding those customers in that moment?
You know, first thing is like imposter syndrome showed up early for me in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes back to being accepted, right? Am I good enough? Who am I? The kid from jail. How am I going to speak on stages with people that are like Tony Robbins, Ed Milet? How am I going to do it? How am I going to be coaching these people who own $100 million businesses? And so first I had to get out of my own way to even understand and recognize people reaching out to me, how grateful I should be, but how amazing it is that my story shines the ability for them to be vulnerable. And I think that's what it comes down to is when I tell my story about my addiction, I tell my story just about my life in general, because if you guys watch me on social media, it's pretty real and raw of like, this is what my life looks like. I'm not the dude that's going to be showing you driving Lambos and jumping on the jet. Like, because in the end, that's not what reality is, right? For 90% of the people out there.
Yeah.
So when people reach out to me, man, it's extremely gratifying because the ripple effect.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I changed my life, it wasn't just for me, right? It was for the legacy.
Of course.
It was for, I didn't have a daughter at the time, but it was for my kids whenever I had kids. Mm-hmm. But it was for also the people, whoever I came in contact with. And so when I know when they reach out to me, the power that it's going to have for their entire ripple effect, their clients, right? Their employees, their family, the people that they'll never meet, all because they decided to take the action and make the decision like that, their entire future has changed. And they won't see half of the amazing things that are going to happen in their family's life because they're going to be long gone. But it's because of this decision that he made today or she made today, say, I'm going to reach out to John and see if he can help me and how he can help me.
Yeah.
And then they take those action, those daily steps that it's like, I love, I just got a message from a client of mine. And she goes, John, I got to tell you something. You remember my why? Because one of the things I dive deep to is like finding that deep meaning for people. And I said, yeah. She goes, it was to go ahead and set up my mother so she could have her own house. And she doesn't have to pay for. I could buy it. She could stop working, yada, yada. And I said, yeah. She goes, I did it. Like I got chills, like thinking about it. She's like, I did it. She goes, I have created the opportunity to where I just closed on a house big enough and has a second in-law suite so I can go ahead and have my mom there fully paid and she doesn't have to work anymore. She can finally live her life without being stressed.
Hmm.
And I was like, oh, the ripple effect that that had on she has her son, she has her mother,
yeah.
right? Like, it's just a beautiful thing to see people finally own up and say, I am in control of the next step, right? Yeah. I'm not letting these circumstances control me. I am going to control what I can control, and I'm going to create that ultimate version of me. I'm going to progress daily, mm-hmm. be better today than I was yesterday. And guess what? Don't know what I don't know, so who does? And mm-hmm. let me go ahead and pick their brain and see how they could help me. And so it's awesome.
Let me ask you this, man. Routines, mm-hmm. you know, morning routines. Do you have one? One. If so, what does your morning routine look like?
You know, I used to not have one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My income will show you that too back yeah. in the day, right?
Like, yeah. Exactly.
And I believe that if you show me your rituals, I'll show you your future.
Mm.
And so I have a morning routine and it's waking up on the Fs. So between 4 and 5:30 every single morning, except one day a week, I do sleep in. And when I wake up, I'm all about triggers. You know, being an addict, yeah. I was all about triggers of doing yeah, of bad course. Things.
Yeah.
But it's funny because we have triggers in our life that we do every day. We go to the same coffee pot.
Yeah.
We shampoo our hair. We brush our teeth, whatever it might be, every day. What if you were able to say, I do this every day. What empowering habit can I put after it? And so that's what I've aligned. So as soon as my feet touch the ground, it's water I pound. Right? Water immediately. Create some clarity. Get rid of some toxins. Boom. And when I go into the shower, first thing I do is when I shampoo my hair is speak in gratitude. I don't just check the box off. I used to. Because people are like, oh, it's gratitude, affirmations, mm-hmm. what successful people do. And so I was
yeah.
doing it.
Yeah,
grateful for my daughter.
Yeah.
Grateful for this.
Yeah.
But I realized that's not the power of gratitude. The power of gratitude is seeing it, feeling it, activating as many senses as possible to be in that moment.
Mm.
And so when I say my gratitude, when I do my shampoo, if I can't see it, feel it, smell it, I stop and I get more descriptive, right? I close my eyes, and if I can't see my daughter, I say I'm grateful for my daughter and the way she smiles and lights up the room even on my darkest days. And I see a time, right? I see a moment where I walked in and like I was feeling like shit, shame, mistakes, whatever it might be. And
yeah.
there she was. That's the power of gratitude.
Mm.
Then I do conditioner. That triggers me for affirmations. Mm. Now, what I do with affirmations, I tell people, don't just say what you want in life that hasn't happened yet. Say who you want to become.
Right.
Like, for instance, I'm like, I am somebody who is present with my daughter. I'm somebody who is present with my family. And I stop and I see myself putting my phone away. I see myself do these
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
Because I don't – the shit I want can't happen unless I become the person I need to become.
Yeah.
So people are doing these affirmations of all these houses and these cars and these things they want.
Mm-hmm.
But they're
what type of individual do you have to be to yes. have those things?
Yeah. And so
– I'm self-disciplined. I'm yes. in the best shape of my life. Even if you're in the worst shape yes. of your life, identify with the individual that you want to be. And you have to identify as a champion prior to ever winning a championship.
Yep.
You know, that's why the kids do 3-2-1 and do the fadeaway. You yep. know, they're practicing that shot. And they're seeing it prior to ever living it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the exact really? Same concept. So yeah. I love
Trips you. Trips talked about that this exactly
exact, those exact same things,
I do too, man.
I love it.
Exactly in the shower yeah. as well. I'm yeah. like, man, I am a strong leader. I am a loyal person.
Yes.
Yeah. I am a confident person. Like, those are the things I'm running through my head now too, right? Yeah. It's cool.
And you activate those senses, right? Like, when you say that, just stop.
Yeah.
There's power in pausing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stop and I see myself – you know, you're a strong leader. I see myself leading people and them going to the next level, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. because I'd rather you say one thing and it hits such a part of your nervous system that it ignites
things.
Something
yeah.
than
yeah.
20 things.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so once I get done with that, then I go ahead and I have stillness. So sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's 15 minutes.
You haven't washed your body yet, dude.
Where did that come in? That comes first.
No, I'm going through your whole shower routine.
And then I do some stillness work because people wake up in chaos, and guess what's going to happen? They're going to attract chaos.
Of course. Yeah.
So I got to align myself. I got to center myself. And sometimes it's literally just sitting there drinking a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
My wife, so she doesn't get up as early as I do. And it was about a week ago, I remember. I was sitting in a bathroom, and sometimes I just do it in the bathroom. And I did like a 15-minute stillness session.
Yeah.
Just focus and just chilling.
Eyes closed or
eyes closed.
Open?
Eyes closed, yeah.
Like a meditation type thing.
Yeah.
Just you do it your way.
Right? Absolutely, right? Yeah. Like, find out what works for you and get it done.
Yeah.
I walked out of the bathroom, and she goes, what the hell were you doing in there for so long, and why were you so quiet? And I was like, well, you know, it's my stillness time. And I was like, you're not up for this normally, so you know, it's a little weird for you.
Yeah.
She's like, you're crazy. I'm like, and it's us who changed the world.
She's like, why are you asleep on the toilet?
Yeah, man? She's like, what are you doing in there all quiet?
You usually take 10 minutes on the shitter, but not 20. Yeah. What the hell?
And I usually hear you like on your phone.
You
or
told me the food last night was good that I made you. Yeah. You know? Now you're feeling it?
Yeah. And so once I do that, then I have my stillness. I hit my workout usually in the morning.
Yeah.
Now, unless I have to do something really creative, then I do my creativity in the morning because that's me. I know I'm more creative in the morning. Yeah. So I hit my creativity first.
Yeah.
And then I read 10 pages or 20 minutes of an Audible. Right? So 10 pages, 20 minutes. I hit my daily Stoic every day. So I read a daily Stoic every single day. It's a passage with just a little bit of actionable things of Stoics in the past. And it's a cool little just get you going into personal development.
Mm-hmm.
3 minutes is all it takes. Then I sit there. Then I write what I have a must crush list. And so what I have found is most people wake up and they're like, all right, business, business, mm-hmm. business. Yeah. Next day, business, yeah. business.
I do that.
And you have a roller coaster, right? It's like you look back at the end of the week and like, oh, man, I didn't even like do one nice thing for my wife today. Man, I didn't take time for me. Man, I didn't work mm-hmm. on my spirituality. Man, I ate like shit because I didn't understand the goal. People need to wake up and know what does success look like today in my health, my relationships, my spirituality, my finances, my career, and my personal side. Yeah. And so every day I ask myself
that. Those
are
the sixes that yep. you try to focus on?
Yep, and I ask yep. myself that. And sometimes it's little things, man, that we talked about yeah. that open big doors, where it's just like write a love letter, love note to your wife. Is that going to progress me in our relationship? Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right? Maybe it's just go ahead and don't eat that cookie tonight when you're going to be, you know, stressed out because you're working late. That little thing will help me progress. And so I'm trying to find these little opportunities, these small moments that mm-hmm. will compound into big progression. And so I have to ask myself those questions. Then I open my email. Mm-hmm. Then I open my phone. So I'm about 90 minutes to 2 hours with no phone in the morning unless it's music.
Yeah, I love
or
that.
Or if I'm not, I'm going to lie here because if there's something profound in my mind, I will open up.
And then I will
open it up. Yeah. Here, go on Instagram really quick. So, you know, once in a while, I do need to cheat a little bit. But
yeah.
I was telling Kel that that's what I started doing too, is trying not to touch my phone for the first hour and a half.
Oh, that became one of my triggers.
Yeah.
Is like when I would reach my phone, oh, stop, man. You got to do your gratitude first.
Yeah.
You know, like with that reach, because we reach for our phone every morning. If you program your mind to reach, like when you do that reach, like, oh, wait a minute, you know, hold off. Yeah. You know, that can wait 10 minutes, right?
Yeah. A tip with that, just give you a heads up, mm-hmm. because I struggle with that to where I always would wake up and subconsciously, you don't even think about it. You're like Facebook.
Yeah.
Email.
Right.
And so what I do
is... And you got one eyeball half open.
Yeah, like, yeah. You're like the junk dude.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah.
And so what I realize is that if I cut off 90 minutes before I go to bed, so when I charge my phone, I recharge myself.
Right.
So I'm 90 minutes before I even try to go to sleep that there is no phone near me.
Yeah.
Because your mind will remember the last thing that it touched and the last thing that it saw to go back to it. And so that's why I keep it, boom, I don't touch it. When I wake up, literally have my water bottle, feet touch the ground, water I pound, and I just like catapult my ass into the shower. Mm-hmm. Also, I do take cold showers. I take hot and then 30 seconds cold.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get all the senses activated and get your brain screaming at you to start the day.
And if I work out prior, like sometimes I'll go for a run, I'll start the shower cold. Mm. I live in Florida, right?
So it's humid, it feels good.
It feels amazing.
Yeah,
and once I get it on hot, it's kind of hard to get it to cold.
Yeah.
I was in Vegas this morning, right? Because I drove here to Vegas and running the mastermind, Trent Shelton and I. And so I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, we're Vegas. It's not going to get that cold.
Yeah.
Holy shit. It felt so good though, dude.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. I have to get a tub for sure. I need to get
most people don't do these things or have a really good routine because it's so much more time. They wake up, like you said, in chaos. And I like that whole structure that you laid out because it's like, man, you can do your routine as you go through the day. You do it in the shower. You can do it. You know what
these
I mean?
Little triggers, man. So I would urge everybody listening, what do you do every single day that's guaranteed, right? Whether it's go to the same coffee pot, mm-hmm. whether it's sit in the same chair, that you could place an empowering habit that you've been wanting to put into your life right afterwards.
Yeah.
Because that's how you get consistent with things, man. You just trigger them up.
That's the idea, right? Mm-hmm. So that we don't have to think about eating or breathing or sleeping. You know, we just lay down and we go to bed or we're breathing right now and we're not having to consciously even think about breathing. It just happens, right? Because we've done it so much, you know, and I don't really think that we have to think about it when we're born either. But the idea is to do something so often that it just becomes it's non-negotiable. That's mm-hmm. just what you do.
Yep.
You eat, you breathe, those are things that everybody does, you know, and then other people incorporate different things into their life. And I'm telling you, if anybody listens, starts to try to adopt some of these habits, because we've mm-hmm. talked about this exact same
so
shit.
Many
That's
times.
Why I ask.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just almost like you're co-signing for us, right? Like it just feels good to know, you know, the information that we give these people, they need to sometimes hear it from other people. So
same
that
message,
it's not
different
just,
messenger.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and it just it helps it become a little bit more concrete that it's not just hot air. It's these are routines. These are things that successful people are doing. Like, it's really not that difficult, like, to Google what successful people do in the morning. What's their morning routine? The information's out there. It's so available. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of taking action and doing it. Yep. To the point to where, do I even question when I go to bed at night if I'm going to get up and go to the gym in the morning? No. That's just what I do.
But there's a meaning behind it, right? Like, so, like, you got a good meaning behind it. You got a good meaning behind the things you do. And I think that's where people fail, dude. They're doing it because other people said to do it. Right. They're doing it because they heard it on this podcast. No,
they might be doing it because they want to be successful rather than being the best version of themselves.
And everything's a ripple effect of, like, I say my gratitude – not just because for my gratitude, it's because what that does for me for the rest of the day. I work out in the morning because it gives me more energy, right? And energy is contagious. And when energy is contagious, it creates engagement. When I have engagement, you can retain more. You retain more, you become the person that you want to become because you're taking action on the shit we talked about. So all these things I do all play a bigger role in my day. It's not just about that moment.
What do you do? What's your crutch for, like, stress relief, right? You have a great, you know, morning routine. You could be as systemized as you want to be, but everybody's going to have down times, down days, stressful days. Is there anything that you do specifically that you say, this is my stress reliever? This is my me time.
Yeah. So I'm going to give everybody actually three things. One, some people can, some people can't. I love going paddleboarding.
Okay.
You know, we live in Destin, Florida, so we have amazing water out there.
Put wheels on the bottom if you don't live by water.
Just go, right? I'm a huge longboarder as well, so just getting out. Number two is take clarity breaks. A lot of times, you know, we have this stressful time because we're not taking 15 minutes three times a day just to be out away from electronics and technology. So I urge everybody to find 3 15-minute time slots every day to go outside away from your phone, away from your computer, and just reboot. Sometimes I'm just hanging out with my daughter. Sometimes I take my shoes off and I go outside to align myself with the new frequency. Mm. Weird and crazy. John Marone 5 years ago, I'd be like, bro, like, what is that's weird.
Yeah.
But it works, right? Like, it works. So I get grounded again. So that helps me relieve stress in a moment, for sure. Another thing, I used to be really, really bad with anger. Like, if anybody listens knows me from the past, they will know that, like, I fought because hurt people, but I had no control over my anger or my emotions. Mm. Yep. So I created a 3-2-1 rule. And what that is simply whenever a bad outcome happens, whenever a negative thing happens, I used to blow up. And what I didn't understand is that when I used to blow up, there was collateral damage. My wife was affected. My employees were affected.
Of course.
And I didn't realize that because they'd be like, why, dude, why are you so pissed? Like, calm down. I'm like, that didn't happen to you. You didn't lose the deal. I lost the deal. He didn't cut you off. He cut me off. And it was so me.
Yeah.
And then when I realized I had collateral damage, I had to find a process that worked. I couldn't live my life that way.
Yeah.
I can't be a leader and affect everybody
if
with my negative emotions.
If you're reacting all the time, because bad things will happen.
Yeah.
And if you're in reaction mode.
All the time.
You're going to be an asshole.
Yeah.
Right? If you're always just reacting to scenarios.
Yep.
Unfortunately, people don't walk up to you and just hand you $100.
No.
You know?
Actually, a girl on a flight gave my daughter $20.
Oh, there you go.
I was like, that was nice of her.
Yeah.
So I was like, what's
but
going
that's
on
not
here?
Every day. That's one time.
That's one time.
So most of the things that happen to us or whatever you want to call it for us, you know, if you're not in the right frame of mind, you're going to react in a negative way, right?
And because we create out of our state, right?
Yes.
We create out of our state. I tell all my salesmen, hey, guys, look, we create out of our state. So if you're in a low state, you're going to create low results. And so this 3-2-1 is when I feel that happen, I take 3 minutes to feel the emotion. I don't ignore the emotion because we've all done that for so many
suppressed
different things.
It.
And the next thing we know what? It builds.
Yeah.
It builds. And it comes out on like the worst case scenario where it had nothing to do with you. But it's just all this other stuff. 3 minutes of just feeling the emotion. If I got to cry, I'll cry. If I got to scream and just yell, I'll do that, right? In a proper setting. And I take 2 minutes of gratitude. 2 minutes of like, okay, what can I be grateful for? Even if I'm driving in a car and like I'm stressed out because there's traffic, right? I get a little pissed, and then it's like, okay, what can I be grateful for? I got a car. Or I got gas in it. I'm going to a place that I can afford to go to. Mm-hmm. Then I take 1 minute where a lot of people fail. Own up to it. Mm-hmm. Own up to that shit. If there's something that happened, where could you have done something differently? Five years ago? Five minutes ago?
Yeah.
find ownership. The more you can find ownership, A, the better leader you'll become, and then B, the less often it will happen, and that stress will no longer activate into your world. So that 3-2-1's helped me a lot. If I can't get on a paddleboard, if the clarity breaks aren't working, and then the other thing, man, is actually reaching out and just talking to somebody. Mm. Like picking up a phone and just calling my buddy or just texting my buddy, taking my mind off the situation. That sometimes just helps me get back into like, yo, you're doing the right thing. Like, you know, it's not a bad day, it's a bad 5 minutes. Right. Yeah. And you know, you said something about it happens to us, happens for us. I'm a big believer, everything happens because of us.
Right.
Right? Mm. Because of us. Hurricane Sandy happened because of me. Not that the storm happened because of me. We stayed there because of me. We could have left.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I got in jail because of me.
Yeah.
I built this life that I could only dream of because of me. So the good things and the bad things. So when you say life doesn't happen to me, it doesn't happen for me, but shit, life happens because of me, the good and the bad, you take complete ownership. I mean, there's nothing to do but to go ahead and do the right things. Yeah, I mean, more often and be able to build a life that you want because everything happens for you. Starts and ends with you every day of the week.
Yeah. Now you can start gaming it. You know what I mean?
Yep. It gets fun.
Yeah. And I think that's where most people go wrong is they hear some cool shit, you know, like everything that you've said is cool shit.
Yeah.
Like I ain't going to lie about it, you know, because I have some of those same routines and shit, you know. But I think people start trying to do it and they just don't see the results of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, within the first 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And it gets a little monotonous at first because, you know, people do things when there's a reward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't see something happening very quickly, then it's just not working.
Yeah.
It's not that it's not working, it's the things that actually benefit you the most in life are some of the hardest things that you have to do and take a lot of consistency. Building a business, it's a wonderful thing, but it takes a lot of time and a lot of consistency. You don't start a business and then in 3 weeks say, this shit's not working out for me. You know, this business game is tough. I'm not making money yet.
Yeah.
You know, you go into it with proper expectations. Like, dude, this might take a year or 2 years or 3 years, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay to eat shit for a while for the long term.
Surrender to the process.
Exactly. Yeah. And you have to be okay if you try to adapt some of these processes that we're talking about or routines or whatever. You have to go into it with a proper expectation that you're committed to it to see it through for a long enough period of time to where you could see that it ultimately works.
Yep.
Don't flirt with something. Don't just kind of try something. If you really want more out of life and you want to get to that next level, you have to get committed and you have to see things through even when it's not fully showing its worth yet.
When I hired my first coach, man, I was going through a divorce. I struggled with anger a lot. And I wanted to change that. I didn't want to be angry anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't know that going into it, right?
Yeah.
But we went in this marriage counselor. He turned into my counselor, like, because the marriage didn't work out. He's my therapist. But looking back, he was my first coach, man. Like, he told me, he showed me a study. He said, it takes 3 to 5 years to reprogram your brain to think a different way. Right. Unless you're like some guru that knows how to really tap into meditation, which most people don't.
Yeah,
you know, like exactly. It takes 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
So I had a 3-2-1 system as well. It was the ice method, man. So I'd ice it, right? I have an anger moment.
Yep.
I'd stop, feel it. I had to identify it because he says anger is always a mask for fear.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you afraid of in this moment that's causing this anger, right? And then you had to choose a new thought.
Powerful.
Then you had to execute the new thought. So
I love
that's
it.
The ice method,
yeah,
right?
Man.
But you got to do it over and over and over again for 3 to 5 years before you change into a new person.
Bro.
And so to go to what you're saying, man, it takes time.
It does
Dude,
take
it
time.
Does.
You want to reprogram who you are, practice new thoughts every single day for 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, or go meditate. I didn't know how to meditate, so I was like, okay, I'm going to be doing this shit for 3 to 5 years.
I love that method, though. love that method.
Yeah,
and
cool.
here's the problem, and anybody listening, I want you to truly write this down and think about it. Instant gratification creates long-term regret.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Instant gratification creates long-term regret.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the world we live in with Uber, with Lyft, with social media, with the notifications,
pop on your phones
we are wired for this instant gratification.
Fast,
so we're going against all these programs in our life.
Amazon, one day shipping. You buy that shit and it's sitting on your doorstep before you wake up the next
day. Like why do you think the older generation, like they knew it's a long-term game, right?
Yeah.
They didn't come over to this country and be like, all right, it doesn't change tomorrow. This doesn't work. So instant gratification creates long-term regret. And if anybody is implementing these habits or anything that we were talking about, I would suggest just getting real honest with yourself if you don't do it and just ask these questions. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, say, what are the habits, first off, I'm trying to create? Maybe it's, you know, waking up early, it's going to the gym, it's gratitude. At the end of the day, have a check-in with yourself. Right. Did I do it? That's the first question. Second question is, why didn't I do it?
Right.
Third is, what will I do differently tonight or tomorrow to make sure I hit it? Hmm. Because we don't ask those questions. It goes one day, two days, 3 days, and then shame kicks in, and guilt kicks in. And it's crazy how when shame and guilt kick in, you do more shit to feel that that shame and that guilt, right?
Well, like, you do it. You do more shit to try to cover it up and suppress it, and then it just compounds and grows.
Yeah.
Right?
So I want everybody to ask those three questions to yourself. Like, what are these three habits, five habits I'm trying to implement? Did I do it? If not, why not? What will I do differently tomorrow?
I mean, it's not fucking hard. Everybody knows exactly what they should be doing or knows if their habits are that of success or not.
Yeah.
Like you know.
Yep.
And when you know and you're doing the right things and you know you're on the right path, you're okay for it to take time because you know you're on the right path. You know, you don't hop in an airplane in LA and expect to be in New York like that.
Yeah.
Right? You can get in the air and you're fine. You're relaxed or whatever because you're on the right path. No matter how excited you are about getting where you're trying to go, the process is the process is the process. And eventually, once you know you're on the right path, you start enjoying the process a little bit more because you realize the destination that you're ultimately going to end up.
Yeah.
Right? Jeez. So when it comes to, you know, the entrepreneurs, I'm guessing is maybe more so the group of people that you work with, some of your clients, right?
Yeah.
Because it's, I would say the average person probably doesn't do a lot of internal looking. They actually really put the blinders on so that they can remain in the exact same cycle over and over without having to feel those negative emotions.
Yep.
And it just makes life easier just to kind of check out mentally and just stay doing what you're doing rather than having to deal with those hard looks in the mirror, some of those tough conversations that you have to have with yourself. So I would say that the average person probably doesn't reach out and say, hey, I want a growth expert or I want to grow as an individual, because then they would have to admit that there's something negative going on in their life, which nobody ever really cares to admit, right? Yep. But entrepreneurs are individuals that, you know, see a little bit more long term. They're, you know, hungry for success or growth, right? What would you say is maybe one of the most common mistakes that you see that you can identify pretty quick when you're starting to work with somebody? Because in business, there's common mistakes that average business people make. There's probably common mistakes average business owners make when it comes to, you know, personally or professionally. What would you say that that is?
You know, so we talked a lot about the person themselves, right? And it's the process that creates the person.
Yeah.
So we've been touching on that a lot. We talked about the habits, but let's talk about like where they intertwine, where your business will intertwine with your personal life. And that comes down to foundation. The foundation is, what are your values? Because that's how you make fast decisions. That's how you filter your decisions. Most entrepreneurs that come to me, they have no clue what their core values are. No clue. They're guessing. I'm talking about there needs to be conviction because conviction creates conversion in sales and in our life.
Mm.
And when I tell you that one of my core values is making shit happen, there's so much conviction behind it that I internally will act every way possible to make it true. And so we follow through with who we believe we are most. Most people think they are less than what they truly are. Most people don't understand their value because of the mistakes they made, because they're just unclear.
Because they're still identifying with the person 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
Yeah. And still trying to be trying to be something new, trying to be that new version of them.
Without letting go.
And they're still holding on to these old values, right?
Yeah.
And so the biggest mistake I see people make, but also the best thing I see people change, is truly understanding what are my core values. Mm. Because when you know your core values, you act in them more often. You can be more aware of them. Let me give you a small example. So one of my values is being present and patient with my daughter. Yeah, you know, she's a miracle baby, we were told, for 5+ years by 3+ doctors. We couldn't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's a whole beautiful story behind it, right?
Yeah.
And so whether that was the case or not, I would still want to be present and be patient with my daughter.
Yeah.
And that's a value of mine. I was sitting about a couple weeks ago, sitting there, I was watching a TV show, and she was like, da 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 da. And I was like, Arya, stop. I'm watching TV.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's
I think every parent listening can relate to that.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yes.
I was like, will you shut up for just 1 second?
Yeah.
And give me some me time.
And so the coolest part was like, after a few minutes, or I wasn't right away, a few minutes, I was like, am I acting in my value? That was not who I want to be. But it's so cool because I see it. And if I see it, right. I could stop it next time. Mm-hmm. If I see it, I could filter it next time. And so I'm, you know, she's only 3 years old, so I'm still brand new to the game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, now that I'm aware of it, like that was one of the coolest parts. It was like, she's my best teacher, right? She challenges me every day in so many different ways. And she challenged me to break out of my value. And it worked. Mm. How many other people in your life are challenging you to take you away from your values? Mm. And how many times is it working? How many times do they keep pulling you back to the old story, pulling you back to the old version of you, pulling you back to the old excuses?
Yep.
And if you don't know your values, you're never going to be able to identify it to create a new identity. Mm. You can't.
Right.
Right? It's impossible. So the most beautiful part was in that moment, like, shoot, obviously it was trying to pull me away, and I gave in to the temptation. I gave in to the temptation to go to the old, impatient, right, kind of tense person.
But I had reactive mode. Yeah.
I had the epiphany. And guess what? Because I was aware, because transparency creates transformation and I'm vulnerable, I realized now I know how to act next time. But if I never knew what that value was, I would never know how to act next time. Therefore, I'd continue the same patterns. And guess who's going to be the one that's going to live in that pattern? My daughter.
Right.
Right? I'm going to give her that same belief.
So your values are your cheat code. 100%. Right? Like, what should I do in this? Okay. This is what I need to be doing based upon these values. This is the right action in this moment. You know, I like that.
Yeah, it's a filter to everything. Let me ask, to who you hired, who you fire. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever done ayahuasca before?
No, I have not done ayahuasca. Really? Yeah, so I've...
The reason why I ask, doesn't he seem like a guy that would have done ayahuasca before? Just kind of some of his, like, dude, you speak very well. You're, you know, well thought out, well spoken. And some of the concepts that you talk about, you know, are similar to... what do they call it? Shamans?
Some of those, you know,
because they dig in deep. They make you look internal.
I'm scared of shit to do ayahuasca.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's some bad things in my life, guys.
Yeah. We did an ayahuasca a year ago.
Yeah.
And we were both very scared, too.
Yeah.
Like, our palms are sweating. Like, we're going to die. Like, you Google it, like, every day. Like, how many people die on ayahuasca? You know?
Yeah.
It's like, you keep digging deeper to find your reason out. Right?
So it's reverse spotlighting, man.
Exactly.
Everybody needs to hear what reverse spotlighting is. It's where we take our fears and we put it on somebody else's feelings.
Right. We're trying to validate.
Yeah. So I remember I was going skydiving like 4 years ago. My wife bought it for me. I was stoked, dude. Me and like five dudes. Well, it started getting closer. Right. And my fear started to rise. So I called one dude up. Hey, man, you probably don't have enough money. You don't have to go. He's like, oh, thanks, bro. Called the other dude. Hey, man, I know you got to work. It's going to be hard for you to get off. Yeah. Called another guy. Called the last guy. He's a Marine. I said, hey, bro, I know you probably go, shut up, we're going. I said, well, you don't even know. He goes, stop trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not trying to get out. I'm trying to tell you. He goes, this shit ain't going to work on me, bro.
Yeah.
He goes, we are going. And I'm like, I just reverse spotlight almost everybody and got out of this. And I'm so glad I didn't. And the reason I tell you that story is because how many times we reverse spotlight our fears onto somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
But really, if we just fought that fear and pushed through it.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's beautiful. There's ayahuasca trip. I mean, that I'm sure unveiled and uncovered so much in your life, whether it was good or bad in a moment.
It doesn't matter
stuff.
If it's good or bad. It still benefits you.
It still benefits you. Yeah. And so I think a lot of people need to realize that salesmen are worse with this. The salesmen are worse. Oh, nobody wants to pick up. Or I wouldn't want somebody to call me on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So you're
projecting.
Are everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Exactly. You are everybody? Yeah. So
we've had conversations like that. Like
with our sales meetings,
you know, if $2,000's a lot to you, that doesn't mean it's a lot to the people that we're calling.
Yeah.
Don't project
your
bias on a sales call where you're biased in this type of a scenario. Yeah. And I think a lot of people look for external validation of their feelings, right? So we were scared to do it, right? Like, is somebody going to, you know, are we going to die? So I was looking for information to validate my feelings.
Yep.
Right? Like, how many people die, you know? So so that I can have a valid reason to not do something based upon fear rather than seeing it through and walking through the fear. Because usually when you do something like that, there is aha moments. There are things. And the more times that you walk through fear, the less you fear being scared.
Yep.
Because you realize on the other side of it, there's really, you know, it was all built up in your head, right?
It's funny about fear, man. Like I used to actually write down every day, what do I fear today?
Mm.
Whether it's making a call, having a conversation. And I built this, like, I'm not scared of fear mentality, but also know that fear gets me closer to my goals.
Yeah.
Like when I know that something scares me, it creates courage to go through it. And that's one of my values I want to have. I want to have courage.
Right.
Like I have my necklace on. It says fearless. Right. Because like I want to be fearless. Mm. But the only way to do that is to face fears every single day. Right. Yeah. And I don't think we're ever fearless. But I just want to build this like no matter what the fear is.
You can feel fear, but some people react based upon their feelings. And other people, again, react based upon
fear could be a good
what
thing.
They're trying to build in terms of who they are. Right.
Yeah.
And they follow through based upon their values or their goals or whatever it is, not based upon an emotion that they're feeling inside that moment.
Yeah. And, and that's, you know, we're emotionally driven creatures.
Of course.
And so when we fall
almost too
back,
much so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
All of our decisions are based upon
pain or pleasure.
An emotion.
Right?
Exactly.
And so when you could identify what's the emotion I feel and does it align with the story I'm trying to create, it just becomes a lot easier to make these decisions. Mm. And that's the other thing. It's like people are like, oh, man, I'm a procrastinator. No, you're not a procrastinator. The thing is you're giving the task a story. So anybody that's listening right now that says they're a procrastinator, I want you to ask yourself, what are you procrastinating on?
If it's something that you truly, really, really wanted to do.
Or need to do.
If you can procrastinate all you want and making rent payment, but that's not going to benefit you at all. Eventually, you're going to be evicted, right? Like there's certain things that we can allow ourselves to procrastinate and there won't be necessarily any immediate harm, but long term, there will be harm.
Yeah.
Right? But it's almost like, so people that wake up at, let's say, 6 a.m. because they're going to go hunting and they love hunting. They hop out of bed like that.
Mm-hmm.
The same person that wants to go golfing at 5:30 in the morning, hop out of bed just like that because it's something they're excited about. If it's not something you're that excited about, you're going to find a reason to put it off.
You know, behind it, man.
The story behind it.
It's the story behind every task, if it gets done or not.
You know, and whether you're excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're not excited about it, you have to tie something that you're excited about to that.
Yes.
And kind of reverse engineer it and say, okay, I can't necessarily see why I would want to do this and get up early and go to the gym. But then you can reverse engineer, well, this is the type of person that I want to be. This is the type of example I want to set for my kids. This is my, you know, my long-term goal. And you got to reverse engineer it and make it a little bit easier to get up in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's that meaning behind it, right?
Exactly.
Meaning behind a mundane.
Yes.
And sometimes the meaning is just to get some energy back. We procrastinate on things, not thinking how much energy it actually takes to procrastinate on things,
right?
Like that battle of like even having a conversation with somebody that you know you need to have a conversation with, you're like, yeah, it's going to be way less stressful if I don't have it. The stress that it's causing you internally without you realizing of not having that conversation is incredible. So once you have the conversation, it's usually not as bad as you think, and you get back so much time and energy. Then you can put that time and energy into something you like to do.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's important for people to evaluate themselves and why they're not taking action.
Mm.
Or why they're procrastinating and a story behind it all.
Yeah.
And when you can go ahead and do that and be super understanding of like, no, let me erase that story and create a new one that actually empowers me.
Yeah.
That's how you get to your goals way faster and collapse time.
Fucking A, bro. I can't lie. You're a gem, dude.
No,
I'm definitely glad that you came out and you spoke with us. And, you know, I guarantee the listeners are going to, you know, love every minute of it without a doubt, because I know that
it's a lot of stuff we talk about, and just hearing it different ways is so incredible.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly. You guys talked about pretty much the exact same thing, but you identified it as ice. And, you know, so, just we kind of unleash our thoughts and how we view specific things, and it's just kind of all the exact same, but we have our own way of doing it, right?
Which is huge. That's what people need to realize.
Exactly.
Like, do it like how we talk to you guys, do it, and then all of a sudden
you make
the small shifts that make it your own, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's how you create the best perfect morning routine.
Yeah.
It's taking the best practices and making it how it works for you without lying, that saying, oh, it doesn't work for me because of this reason or that reason, right? So being transparent creates transformation.
Yeah.
And anybody listen to this, look, we gave a lot of information today.
As
you guys give information every single episode.
Yeah.
But everybody has heard the phrase, knowledge is power.
Right.
Action is power.
Yeah, knowledge is not power, right?
Yeah.
It's the implementation of the information.
Yes.
Right.
Implementation of the information.
Yeah.
And so all the great stuff we talk about today, first off, if you weren't taking notes, you lose 80% in 48 hours. If you weren't taking notes, 80% in 48 hours. So go back, listen to this, take some damn notes.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's like Dude, just go take action. People ask me, John, what book should I read? First off, what's your problem? John, I read 50 books this year. Okay, cool, but you're still broke and you're still miserable. Yeah. So why don't you read one and take action from that one?
Yeah.
And so guys who are listening, please value, you know, for us, like the best thanks we can get is for you guys taking to take action. Into implementation on this information because this is years of struggle that we went through
to find out this information.
Yeah. And you know, I always talk about the story behind the glory. That's why I talk about my story so much, to help people not wait for rock bottom.
Exactly.
Like, stop waiting for rock bottom. I tell you, it's not fun. Yeah. Like, it's not fun. Create the rock bottom as where you're at right now, not where you want to go. Today's your rock bottom.
Exactly.
Write the date down. Anybody listening, write today's date down and say, today's my rock bottom. Today, I can only go up from here because I have a strong enough meaning. And guess what? I'm going to embrace the suck. I'm going to fall in love with the process. Brick by brick by brick, I will live my legacy so I could leave my legacy every day.
Huge, man. Huge. Badass. So if individuals want to connect with you, how do they connect with you?
Yeah, so Instagram, at Real John Marrone. It's M-A-R-R-O-N-E. Go ahead and slide in my DMs. I love to hear people's feedback, hear their story.
Yeah.
So I can go ahead and provide any value or just kind of chop it up and jam with them. So at Real John Marrone, YouTube, John Marrone, as well as you can go to my podcast, Power of Progression. I've had some phenomenal guests on, Trent Shelton, Eric Thomas, Lisa Bilyeu, the list goes on. But it's just about people sharing their story and giving actionable tools to be better today than they were yesterday. And if you're looking for any kind of coaching, just go to johnmarrone.com. All my programs are on there. I got the Evolution coaching experience right now. That is probably the best coaching experience out there. And I say that because go to the page, johnmarrone.com/evolution, and just look at the testimonials and results.
Right. Yeah.
It's guaranteed.
So do you find when you do the podcast and you're interviewing, you know, these high power people, the same thing that we just barely talked about, a lot of their beliefs and a lot of their core values kind of match up a little bit.
100%.
And it's just, it's weird how that top layer of people have so many similarities.
Yeah, there's such commonalities between the most successful people.
Mm.
Like, successful people leave clues.
Yeah.
Like, pick that up. Like, go and pick it up. And so, yeah, I mean, I would say there's like this top five, top seven things, and they do it their own way.
Yeah.
Right? But it's the
same concept. It works for them.
Concept, yes.
Yeah.
It's the
They've
same
made it their
concept.
Own, just as we talked about.
Yeah. And, you know, it starts with getting comfortable being uncomfortable, vulnerability, sharing their story, and doing the shit they don't want to do and they know they need to do it.
Yep.
You know?
Cool.
Very cool.
Man, we appreciate you coming out and chopping it up with us. I know I enjoyed it. I'm sure Kel enjoyed it as well. So, and we know you guys enjoyed it. Make sure that you guys, reach out to John, follow him on his Instagram account. He's sharing information that's valuable on a day-to-day basis as well. So, guys, if you benefited from this podcast, that means that you have somebody else in your life that obviously can benefit from this type of information as well. So don't do the people that you care about a disservice by not sharing something that's positive and uplifting. You know, be the light inside of your ecosystem, your friends, your family, things like that. So make sure you share the information. And as always, guys, have a kick-ass day. Take care.